You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along again to the William Hill Irish Podcast. Andy Holding here, looking at a 7-race programme at Navan this Sunday, November the 26th, where the highlight comes in the shape of the Troy Town Handicap at 2.35. That 3-miler is worth €59,000 to the winner, and we'll be covering that race in a good deal more detail in a minute or two's time. We've also got graded action courtesy of the 105 in the shape of the Monksfield Novices Hurdle, a Grade 3 contest in which Sam Crow bids to keep up his fine record of not being beaten in four starts at up until now. The 3.35 is the concluding mare's listed race, and we've got a decent turnout for that contest as well. So certainly worth sticking around until the end of the programme.
Race 1.
It's the females that kick off the programme here today at 12.35 with the mare's auction maiden hurdle. Now, not a particularly strong race for the track, it has to be said. So one could argue that this gives an ideal opportunity here for Ratuti Yuti from the Robbie McNamara stable. She's already shown a fair level of form in five starts so far in the National Hunt Flat Race sphere. Not a bad effort last time out, of course, down in Galway behind Moonlight Escape, who, of course, runs in the listed race to conclude the programme for Gordon Elliott. And albeit this filly isn't the biggest, she certainly doesn't lack heart and sort of determination in her races. She kept on quite willingly on that occasion several weeks ago. I do think she's probably the one to beat here. However, if you're looking for an each-way alternative, then look no further than Ale Cal here from the James Barco stable. Now, James hasn't got a particularly strong team of horses, but he does pop up every now and again with one. And albeit this horse has beaten quite a way last time, at 30 lengths, incidentally, it wasn't a bad effort, actually, in the context of what it was up against. It was a good race of the day on the 11th of November behind the likes of Next Destination, Sundown, Paloma Blue. We had actually Palisader in that race, who finished fourth. And this horse, I actually thought, didn't do too badly. She kept on quite well to finish never near a seventh. And even in finishing, like I say, 30 lengths behind, her sectional times and overall speed figure in that race certainly panned out quite well in comparison to one or two of the other races on the card. For instance, she would have finished quite a bit ahead of the handicappers who took part in the mile and a half contest half an hour early. So, like I say, she didn't run up to a bad standard. She's 14-1 this morning, and she might have just slipped through under the radar here of many, just thinking she's an exposed 90-rated mare. But her ability to handle a stiff track such as Nace on heavy ground surely will stand her in good stead. And I do think at 14-1, Ale Cal can certainly outrun her odds there in the opener.
Race 2.
Right, on to the first big of the pattern races there this afternoon. And all eyes will no doubt be on Sam Crow, who is very much a horse who's under my close scrutiny at the moment. I do think this horse is capable of being a festival horse at the end of the season. Now, what trip is the $64,000 question? So far, to me anyway, this horse has shown an amazing amount of speed, even though he's a point-to-pointer and he's bred to get further. He's very much in the mould of Don Cossack. He's probably, if you like, similar to Death Duty in many respects. Well, I do think connections need to be careful here, getting sucked into this horse running over 3 miles towards the end of the season, because we know what happened when Death Duty went to the Albert Bartlett, albeit he probably wasn't a healthy horse at that stage. I do think this horse is more of a 2 mile than a 2.5 mile. But connections see fit to at least give him a pop here today. I mean, his class is going to get him through today. He loves the ground, and the way he breezes through his races suggests that, to be honest, he should be able to brush this lot aside. It is quite a weak race for the grade. If you're looking for a bet without the favourite, then I'd probably go with Henry de Bromma's Creation, who ran perfectly respectably the other day down in Down Royal when she finished second behind Just Janice in a decent mare's only contest. The fact that she's fit and well, has run some good speed figures, and has handled the ground in recent times suggests to me, anyway, that she's certainly up to finishing there or thereabouts. And actually, if you sort of, unfortunately, Ballyluskie's out, but I think we have got the dead eight runners. I don't know what I'm talking about there, but yeah, the dead eight runners here. I mean, 40-1's a massive each way price for this horse. Or like I say, I bet without the favourites probably wouldn't go amiss. But Sam Crow very much is the one to concentrate on here, as the odds suggest. But I do think Creation, well, definitely outrun her odds, and she can either follow the favourite home or certainly look with a bet involving her in some exotic bets.
Race number three.
On to the 135 then, which is the first of the competitive handicaps. It's been good money this morning for Amelino and Snugborough Hall, and I can certainly see where connections of those two horses respectively are coming from, but they're going to have their work cut out to be Lex Talionis in my estimation. I thought this horse was a bit unlucky the last day when he ran here over the course and distance. He didn't do a great deal wrong. He just bumped into a horse in the shape of Oscar's Den, who clearly had been laid out by connections for that race because he'd won there before. It just got outstayed up the running by a, if you like, more bigger, stronger model who just handled the ground a bit better up the hill. But he did nothing wrong, Nolmead's 4-year-old, in chasing him home, and he pulled well clear of the rest in fairly comfortable fashion. Prior to that, he won a very competitive handicap down in Punchestown. And that race back in October, early part of October, when he was fourth behind Russian Roulette at Ferry House, has worked out an absolute treat as well. Like an open book, for instance, the third horse bolted up next time out down in Clonmel. So all his form lines and his track form and his ability to handle the ground, all roads lead to Lex Talionis here, and I expect him to justify favouritism there in race number three.
Race four.
Right, on to the fourth race. An intriguing beginner's chase, if ever you saw one, where we've got two very good opponents here in the shape of Al Boone Fota and Le Martelan, locking horns here at the head of the market. Obviously, Min won this race last year. You'd expect Al Boone Fota to be running up to a fair standard, you would say, first time out for Willie Mullins. Whether he's quite got the speed for a 2-mile-1 race, one would have to argue, because all his best form, anyway, to my eyes, is over slightly further. And Willie Mullins saw fit to try him over 3 miles on his last start last season in the Grade 1 at Punchestown. But this looks a decent starting point for him, and albeit he might just get done for toe, expect him to go well all the same, because beyond the front two, it doesn't look a particularly strong race. But it's a race, really, that should be well within the compass of Le Martelan. He's very much a trailblazer, front runner, heart on your sleeve horse, call him what you like, but he'll definitely serve it up to this lot here. And if it wasn't for the stamina of Denario Dizabo down in Wexford the last day, he would have run out quite a comfortable winner of that decent beginner's chase. The feature of that race was the very strong pace throughout, and the time figure was one of the best ones I've got so far in Ireland in that particular division. They were well clear of the third, and this horse, to my eyes anyway, certainly jumps fences just as well as he did hurdles. He's always looked a chase in the making, being a former horse from the point-to-point field. So despite the obvious-looking claims of Al Boone Fota, I'll stick with Le Martelan, who's got the experience and the likely tactical advantage, one would imagine, to justify favouritism there in race four.
Race number six.
Right, on to the big betting race of the day then, which is the Troy Town Handicap, 3 miles. Will take plenty of getting, of course. That goes without saying. And all eyes here are no doubt going to be on Acapella Bourgeois, representing the same connections that landed a bit of a punt down in the Munster National with Total Recall, of course, another ex-Sandra Hughes inmate. This horse could potentially still be quite well handicapped, despite Willie Mullins bleating and he's got to carry 11 stone 10. What you've got to look at, you've got a horse who's been running in Grade 1 chases, who goes a really strong gallop and handles the ground to contend with here, rather than looking at the weights and measures. However, you've certainly got to respect Willie Mullins' opinion. And with that in mind, I'd probably look elsewhere at Gordon Elliott, because not only has Gordon won this race for the last 3 years with similar types, he also had 6 winners on this card 12 months ago, which obviously has got to be factored into the equation here with regards to the chances of General Principle. It looks as though he's been laid out specifically for this race by the County Meath handler. He's fifth in the Irish Grand National last year behind our Duke. Certainly reads well on paper in context of this race. And we know that he's a graded winner on soft or heavy ground from last season. He's one of those typical second season chasers that often gets in quite well handicapped in his follow-up season. And the fact that he just had a lovely spin the other day to blow around the cobwebs at Clonmel suggests that that run should have put the finishing touches on his chances here. He jumps well, he travels well. And he's got Jack Kennedy on board, of course, who's riding on the crest of a wave. If you can get five or six places this morning, it's hard really see, it's hard to see really with a clear round general principle not being involved in the finish.
Race five.
Right, on to the penultimate contest then, which comes up at 3:05. A very competitive-looking 2 mile, 6.5 furlong handicap. But look no further here than Gordon Elliott's Glenn Lowe, who run an eye-catching race first time out this season when he was a staying on second behind Oscar Knight in the similar colours of JP. That race was noticeable for a very strong pace, particularly on the last circuit. They covered the circumference of the county, killed their venue in only a second slower than the maiden hurdle won by Next Destination, which suggests to me that they were trapping along at a decent pace. And even though this horse got outdone when the winner quickened from the second last, he kept on really well to suggest that stepping back up to his optimum conditions and distance of 2.7, of course, a C&D where he's winner over last year, that he's going to be quite difficult here to beat here this afternoon. So Glencoe is a confident choice there in race number six.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, and a very competitive and classy looking mare's bumper we've got on our hands here. But I do really like Lady Inchia from the Gavin Cromwell stable. She warmed up for a tilt at this prize with a smooth victory on the 11th of November at Nace, when she cruised through the race in the hands of Paddy Mullins. And I actually thought she found really quite a bit for pressure in the latter stages, despite the ground being very testing. And I do like the fact that she's come up a hill, testing such as that one at the County Guild Air Track, to suggest that she'll handle similar conditions here today at the sister venue here this afternoon. Obviously, Paddy Mullins retains the ride, and I do like Gavin Cromwell when he's got his hands on a decent mare. He often doesn't make many mistakes, as Jer's Girl has proven many times in the past. So Lady Ischia is a very confident choice to win the listed prize for Connections in the 3:35. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again on Friday, when we're going to be taking a look at the traditional Dundalk Fair on that particular evening. Until then, it's goodbye from me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.